Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Came across an article in the Times of Israel, an opinion piece, a blog by my guest, Salo Eisenberg. Is the two-state solution viable? Depends on if you hate Israel. I read the article. I thought it was absolutely fascinating. I thought, let's have a chat. So, Salo Eisen, thank you so much for talking to me here on Chai FM this afternoon. Shana Tova to you.
Yeah, Shana Tova. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate the nice comment about the article.
The article was really interesting. I want you first to just, if you don't mind, give us the background to the study that resulted in you writing the article, and then let's chat.
Yes. Well, Foreign Affairs Magazine, which is a pretty well-known magazine, surveyed 64 experts. I kind of put the experts in quotation marks because they're not really necessarily experts. They're just known people, whether they thought that the two-state solution they asked it the other way, not if it's viable, but if it's no longer viable, almost sort of leading the question. I thought it was very interesting because the people that answered the question really didn't give any reason why they thought the two-state solution was viable or not viable. They really gave their they revealed their position on the conflict, not any information on whether the two-state solution was really viable.
But, I mean, if we broke those results down, Salo, your contention was that those who wished to see Israel disappear saw it at this settler colonialist state. They're the ones who definitely preferred a unitary state, and only those sort of liberal-type Zionists and others favored the two-state solution, pardon me. Would that be an accurate summation?
Yes, and I think it's important to step back and look back at the history of the two-state solutions that were offered to the Palestinians in 2000 under the Clinton parameters with Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat, and in 2008 when Olmert made this similar offer to Abbas. And in both cases, the Palestinians said no, and the one that Yasser Arafat said no to is a particularly stark example because it apparently gave the Palestinians everything they say they want, which is full sovereignty in the West Bank and Gaza, control of East Jerusalem, control of the Temple Mount. All these things were offered, contiguous state, but they still said no. So the reason it's not viable is because the Palestinians have said no. It's not because Israel never offered it, or it wasn't available. Yet it's interesting how the people who are not really for that two-state solution say it's not viable. So why isn't it viable? Because you want it all. That's really what the Palestinians are telling us. They want it all. And when they say they want a one-state solution, it's really code word for we want it all.
Salo, again, really interesting because this has become such a hot potato, this particular subject. You've got people like Peter Beinart, very well. Controversial opinions coming out of him in the United States of America. He's left Zionism behind. He's talking unitary states. It seems to me that there's this odd confluence between the far left and very right-wing religious Jews. And I know I see it. I'm in front of it every day in a Jewish community radio station. The far right Jewish groups oppose a two-state solution every bit as much as those who deny Israel's legitimacy at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right in a sense, although they come at it from completely two different perspectives. The far left who say no have this belief that somehow utopia can be achieved in the Middle East between Arabs and Jews, and in a one state, it's going to be a peaceful democratic society where Jews are safe. And that's ludicrous if anyone knows even anything about the history of the Middle East or the Jews. And the religious right come at it as a religious mandate that they have all the land is promised to them. So it's very different reasoning. But I think the key point is that the religious right who say they want it all are a minority, and Israeli governments in the past have offered the two-state solution and sovereignty to the Palestinians. So that's been a reality. So the religious right have been marginalized in terms of that desire. control to take it all.
It is interesting. I mean, I see this as the critical issue facing Israel today. I can't think of anything more important than this. And yet, if we look at the last couple of Israeli elections, the one issue which has been absolutely absent and off the table has been peace or accommodation with their neighbors.
Yeah, and I think the reason is because most Israelis, even the far left, realize that at this point in time, the Palestinians are not, the leadership today is not interested in a two-state solution. And everything they say and do, they keep saying, well, we want all our so-called refugees to return. So there's nothing to negotiate. This was done, this was already offered twice in 2000 and 2008, and no one's really answered why those deals weren't good enough. So I think everyone recognizes that right now, and I'm not excusing the Israeli leadership also. I think they can definitely do more, to improve the situation. I think everyone recognizes that right now nothing's going to happen. It's going to be the status quo, whether you like it or not. So there's really no point in debating it. I mean, as of now, the Palestinians say that there's no Jewish temple, that they, that never existed.
Yeah,
that you see.
Denialist.
How can you negotiate it? Right. Yeah. How can you negotiate a two-state solution when the other side doesn't even believe
you don't
that
exist.
Jews had a temple?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Very worrying the extent to which these sides have become estranged from each other. And yet, in amongst all this, the current situation where everybody's so incredibly polarized, we have an event like the Abraham Accords. We have possibility of discussions with the Saudis. I mean, don't you see that as some sort of green shoots of opportunity?
Absolutely. And there's a reason why the Palestinians were so upset about that, because it started to burst the reality that you know, nothing can ever happen with peace until the Palestinians get what they want, which is everything. And I think it burst that bubble that Israel is going to be a permanent Jewish state in the Middle East. And the more that other countries sort of affirm that Israel is going to be a permanent Jewish state, the Palestinians get angry about that. So I think that is green shoots, but really I think we just need a new generation of leadership, particularly on the Palestinian side. I think if any Palestinian leader, I always say the Palestinians need their Sadat. If a Palestinian Sadat came up and said, we're ready to bury 1948, we're not looking to reverse history, we accept, we don't like it, we don't agree with it, but we accept that the Jewish state is permanent and we just want to move forward and have our state. No matter what who the Israeli leader is, they have to respond positively.
Sal Eisenberg, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Once again, thank you for talking to us here in Johannesburg on Chai FM this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Really excited about it. I'm excited about the fact that we've put this discussion back on the agenda. It's a discussion I think that we all need to have. So yeah, thank you, and thank you for writing the article.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.